the service this morning, Matthew chapter number 11. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want to look at this, what our Lord is speaking of today. And he says something that is a little hard to understand if you just look at it like Brother Brandon said this morning. I like that. If you just look at it in a snapshot, just one verse, you're not going to understand it. You have to look at everything that our Lord was talking about when he said in verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And what I'm wanting to preach about is entering into the kingdom. Entering into the kingdom, or what it takes to enter into the kingdom. The words that we're looking at here, and I'll look at them quite a bit this morning. We'll go back to them because I want you to really get the understanding of this passage. And this is an urgent passage, by the way. I see and I understand what this is speaking of, and I see just how urgent it is. It is a very doctrinal passage in that it gives some light into the way that a person must be if they really want to be born again. I mean, if somebody truly wants to be saved. See, we're living in a generation today where, and please, I'm not trying to be offensive, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Because I have said many times that you need to trust Christ as your Savior. And that must happen. But that's not the first thing on the list that causes salvation. That comes down the road, and I'll get there. But we're living in a generation today that says, just trust Christ, and you can be saved. And so somebody in their logical mind says, I believe, I'll trust Christ. And the doctrine that they're hearing from so many is, if you've done that, now you're saved. Well, there's something wrong with that. You see, first thing, they left out repentance. There must be a repentant heart for somebody to truly be saved. And when we see this verse, I see repentance and trust or faith merging into the heart of the sinner and causing an action to come from them. And so what he's talking about here, and we'll look at it, the words describe an eager rush of a crowd. The crowds of Galilee and Judea that first came to hear the preaching of John the Baptist. Our Lord spoke of that. He spoke about John's ministry here in chapter 11. He started out with John's ministry, and he actually asked them three times. They come to see John, and then again, they came to see Christ. But to see John, they said, what went you out for to see? But what went you out for to see? But what went you out for to see? The first time he says it in verse 7, what went you out into the wilderness to see? They had gone to great distances to see him. And there are some that would come to see or to hear. That's what Jesus said over here in verse number 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John those things which you do hear and see. You see, it was important to note that because people were coming by the groves to hear and to see. To hear and to see. And Jesus said, what went you out for to see? And so some people, they came to see miracles. They had heard of this man, John the Baptist, and they had come to see miracles. Others came to hear doctrine. They came to hear, they were living in an age where there were whole sects of people that came to seeking to hear some new thing, even into Paul's day. They looked to hear some new doctrine. And so they came to hear doctrine. They came to see miracles. Many came to see his person. What kind of man John the Baptist was. Jesus even said, what'd you do? Come to see a man clothed in soft raiment? He said, men clothed in soft raiment, they're in king's houses. What'd you think you was going to see when you came out to see John? A reed shaking in the wind? And he finally told him, he said, he is a prophet and more than a prophet. It is he of whom I spake concerning me, that he is the one that would come and prepare the way before Christ. That's who they went out to see. And now Christ, they come out to see him, and they come out to see his person and to hear his doctrine. Many of them ask, Lord, what do I do? What do we do? They had heard his sermons on the mount. You remember, they came by the throngs. They came, many of them, by the thousands to see miracles, to be fed. One woman pressed through the crowd and grabbed the hem of his garment. They were pressing upon him and thronging upon him. And it was not that way until John and Christ. And the multitudes came out as a group of people, a crowd set to take over a city, as if to attack on all sides, to be eager to take possession of it. Now, I'll tell you what, I experienced a little bit of that when I was in Egypt. First time I ever went to Egypt, Brother Mike. I'd been to Mexico, and I'd seen poor people. And I'd seen little old kids gather around, by the 10s or 15s. But not until I'd went to Egypt did I understand what it meant for a crowd to throng you. I had decided it was a good idea that some of those little old kids had never tasted a piece of candy. I was going to buy some candy and give it to the little kids. And when they got wind of that, they came from everywhere. And I was literally pinned against a wall. And the hands, under, the age of teenagers. Little kids. Hundreds of them. And all pressing, coming, wanting eagerly. They had heard of what I had. Well, now that's just a carnal illustration to what happened here in the days of John and Christ. 400 silent years. And now you hear a man talking about life, talking about repent and be baptized, talking about society in a way they'd never heard, talking against the man that would cheat or steal, talking about the hypocrites that were in the temple, talking about what was right and what was judgment and what was law and what was godly and what was righteous. And they weren't there for money. They weren't there for anything else. They came. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. People were seeing. Their blind people, eyes were opened. They were seeing their dead people get raised up. People wanted to know, and they wanted to be a part of this kingdom. And so they pressed, and they pressed, and they pressed, as if pressing violently. They came for the peace and the forgiveness and the blessedness. You remember Jesus gave the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed. And they wanted to be blessed. They had never experienced what it was to truly be blessed. To be blessed, to be touched by the hand of God. The people were being touched by the hand of God. They were being touched by the very hand of God in Christ. Amen? He laid his hands upon many of them and gave them their sight. New life. Their sins were forgiven. He told one man, if you don't believe that, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. They questioned whether or not our Lord could forgive sins in his day. That's what people were coming for. They were weighted down with sin and iniquity. Their sins were overtaking them. Are you listening to me? The burdens of life. The weight of the world. And the Lord told them that they could have new life. They came with much eagerness. As if somebody to snatch something and take it off as their own. They came in to get it and leave. came in to grab it, to take part of it and go back home changed. Many of them did. They come, and then Jesus said, go thy way. They had something to go back for. Amen. They had something in their heart and in their soul that had changed them. Now they were going home telling their loved ones. Their new life, as is in the prophet's language, the prophet Jeremiah had spoken, Jeremiah of 45:5. He said, your life would be given to them as a prey. He was speaking to the children of Israel as if they had caught a prey. And just given to them for nothing. They had something they could take back and that would nourish them. Are you listening to me? I think that's what he meant. I mean, a picture is also like this of what God, when he had gave the whole land of Israel to Nebuchadnezzar for nothing. Nebuchadnezzar had come down and was given all of it. It was in judgment against Israel, their disobedience, but he was given all of it for nothing. That's the picture. That's the picture that you've been given so much for nothing. Amen? Given so much for nothing. Nothing that you and I could do, could gather so much, could warrant so much. We could not pay for so much as what the Lord has given us. In Luke 18, if you'll want to read over there in Luke chapter 18, he talks about this new life. He talked about a woman that came. He gave an illustration about a woman and an unjust judge and how that she came. And she came to the point of how that she wearied him. That's the way these crowds were. They kept coming and they kept coming and they kept coming. There was a man that had asked in Luke chapter 18. There's a Pharisee. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much up his eyes into the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Our Lord was preaching to them how they would enter in to the kingdom of heaven. It would not be from the hypocrisy of the works of their own hand, but by the humility of soul. He's preaching to them. Why? Because they're constantly coming, wanting to know. In verse 18, a certain ruler, in another place, he was a rich young ruler, asked him, saying, in another place it said, he was running and kneeling. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In the other gospel, he said, what good thing must I do? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and follow me. In other words, it's going to take you wanting me more than all of that. That was the pressing of the violent crowd that Jesus was talking about. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. They were coming in throngs as though violently wanting life, wanting a change, wanting a miracle, wanting God. Do you saints of God that are saved remember the time in your life where you got to the place where you said, God, I want to be saved? You wanted it more than anything. Jesus said in verse 24, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Look at this. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Why? Because, see, a camel, he might try to squeeze his way through. See, that's his work. But if he knows he's helpless to get through, there's one that can get him through. You have to want to be in. You have to want to be in. We're missing that in the day that we're seeing today. Today's like the days of Noah. Amen? Where they should have been out there when the door of the ark was open, pressing like this crowd. Pressing violently to be one of them that would make sure they got in. There was nobody there. They didn't care. They didn't want it. I'm going to tell you something. If you get saved, it's going to be more than just trusting Jesus. You're going to have to want him. I think I'll just trust him today. You're going to have to want him. You're going to have to want him more than anything else. Amen. That's amen. That's right. You're going to have to want the Lord. You're going to have to want salvation. You're going to have to, hey, I say you're going to have to be to the place where it's almost as if an urgency and an eagerness comes in your soul. It's called a hunger and a thirst. There's a dryness of soul. A starving of spirit. Amen? A darkness and you're wanting light. You're wanting to be brought out. From the time Christ had born his public ministry. Or John the Baptist had bore his ministry to the approach of Christ. See, they were following John, and then they began to follow Christ. From the time he had fulfilled his ministry, the Bible said, talking about John, that's the kingdom of heaven. The dispensation, listen, which all persons equally, upon repentance and faith, amen, can come in. All persons, everybody, whosoever will, Jew and Gentile, amen, those in Jerusalem, those in Samaria. Repentance and faith. The kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's though the spirits of men are so excited, the desire for the kingdom, as if attacking a besieged city. It would have looked like when the children of Israel came in and circled the walls of Jericho. That's a picture of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to get in. We're going to get in. We're here on the outside. And we're here because the Lord said we're going in on the inside. Amen. They encompass the city walls of Jericho until the walls come down. That's what our Lord's speaking of. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That urgency, men of all sorts pressing into it. In another scripture, that's what it says. He said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. With a violence like that of men, that are storming a wall. Multitudes flocking around about him to be instructed in the nature of the kingdom, to hear his words, to hear about life. What must I do to be saved? And people that the religious crowd would have deemed unfit. They didn't even let them near the temple, Brother Danny. Lepers. The blind, the halt. If they even got anywhere near the front, somebody had to carry them and they'd leave them outside. I'm reminded of a man Bible students, see if you can pick up on the picture. He's sitting on a highway side and he's blind. He lives in Jericho. And he's heard about the kingdom. He's heard about this Jesus. And he begins to cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, Son of the King, the King of the Kingdom. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, as if violently begging. Amen? Wanting it more than anything. They pressed upon him, hush, be quiet, don't say anything, don't bother him. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. There was nothing going to get him to be quiet. Pressing, wanting his voice to be heard. Lifting it up a little louder. Jesus, have mercy on me. And he stood still. Amen. That woman I was telling you about that touched the hem of his garment. She pressed through a thronging crowd. A thronging crowd. Many pressing upon him. But when she touched his hem, Jesus said, who touched me? Why is a different touch? She had entered into the kingdom by faith. She knew, if I could just touch his hem, I'll be whole. How many times did Jesus tell them when they had great faith, when they exercised great faith, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is not far from you. I mean, all it took is them putting that faith in the right direction. Well, you say, what direction is that? In Jesus. Putting it in Him. Seeing Him as hope. Seeing Him as the King of Kings. Seeing Him that gives life from the dead. Seeing Him that will open your blinded eyes. Hey, He'll be bread when you're hungry. Water when you're thirsty. Life from the dead. Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This expression requiring the deepest attention to what Jesus is speaking. Oh my goodness. John the Baptist. He said, what went you out for to see? A man in soft raiment? Them in soft raiment, they live in kings' houses. You see, John was a self-denying man. Dead to all of the pomps and needs of the world. He didn't need soft raiment. He didn't need the best of bread and hummus. He ate locusts and wild honey. He ate whatever God had provided. He was a man dedicated to that message of Christ, of the kingdom. That message of the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of grace. It's the kingdom of the gospel. That's the message of the kingdom. This gospel. Jesus came preaching the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. If you want in, repent and believe the gospel. Repent, he told them, John did. Repent and be baptized. Have one of you. Turn from your adultery. Turn from your thieving. Turn from your lying. Turn to Christ. Repent. He told the men, low and high. He came to make the highways low and the low ways high. He leveled the plain. Listen, it was the same for all. It wasn't no different for a rich man what he heard than it was for what a poor man heard. Amen? Repent and believe the gospel. The gospel of grace. The gospel of whosoever. Amen. We have great reason to be thankful, church, that our lives, our lot, I want to say, was cast in the day of grace. Amen? Not in some dark day as Gentile dogs thousands of years ago having no hope. Multitudes came upon John and his ministry and strove for a place in his kingdom. Followed him. Stayed with him. Became disciples. And the same day to Jesus. What fervency and zeal that they had. Denying self. Many of them left their nets. Left their father's business. Do you see how they denied everything? Now, I'm not telling you to quit your job today, but I am saying he has to be worth more to you than everything else you have. You have to warn him. I know we're living in a kind of a nonchalant generation. Kids today, they get everything most of the time for nothing. They can go sit at a job interview and they can sit there on their phone most of the time, hardly look up, hardly talk. Well, you're hired. You wouldn't have been hired in my day. Not when I was a kid. If you didn't wear the best thing you owned and come in there and sit up straight, hair combed, teeth brushed, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. I'll do whatever you ask. I'm just here to work. I'll just be glad to have a job. Amen. You did exactly what you was told and you worked hard at it. Do you think you're going to get salvation saved on this nonchalant attitude? Well, if I get in or if I don't, maybe it'll all pan out like Brother Brandon said. It'll all work out. I got to do my thing right now. I've got too many other important things to do. This has been going on for so long. That's what the Bible said they'd say. It's been going on forever. People still dead and in the grave. There ain't no rapture taking place. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. People get a great interest in salvation to not quit, to lay hold of it until they get their blessing, like Jacob wrestled all night with God. I won't turn loose until you bless me. That was the kind of spirit they had. They wanted to be there. They was there the next day. And the next day, they followed Jesus all the way to the seashore till he had to get up in the boat. They wasn't just standing on the land. They was standing in the water. They wanted to be as close to him as they could possibly be. They wanted to hear. They wanted to know if he breathed. They wanted to be breathed on. If he was going to feed, they wanted to be fed by his hand. In Luke 18, he goes on and this is the things they were hearing. Stay with me now, just for a few more minutes. These are the things they were hearing. This is why they wanted in. Verse 29 of Luke 18. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. I want that. I want in on that. I want to have that. I ain't never had nothing. I want what Jesus has got. Amen. Why do you think so many of them were the poor and the lowly? They didn't have nothing, and here they've met a man that promised them everything and life everlasting. Even right down to the thief on the cross and said, remember me. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You say, Brother Mark, what happened to that thief? He's in paradise. Amen. He's in heaven right now. Amen. Why? Because he wanted it more than he wanted down from the cross. He wanted it more than he wanted to get away with his guilt. See, if he could have got off that cross, he could have got away with his stealing. I stole, they crucified, but I got away. He did. That was not his interest. I just want to be remembered by this man when he comes into his kingdom. I want to be in His kingdom. I want to be remembered in His kingdom. Jesus said in verse 31, He took the 12, said unto them, We go up to Jerusalem, and all things are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Look at this. For He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge Him, and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. Listen, there are enemies of the kingdom. There are enemies of the gospel. They absolutely don't want you saved. They don't care if you ever get saved. The kingdom of heaven comes with force. Suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And there is a force. A spiritual force, the Spirit of God that comes upon man. Paul called it the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Amen? Quickening people that are dead in trespasses and sins. Enlightening the blind. He told John, said, go tell him the things that he saw. Go tell him what you saw. It's still happening. The deaf hear. The lame walk. Power of the Spirit of God. Listen, melting and softening the hearts of stone. Turning men from the power of Satan under the power of God. There's a demon-possessed man up in the tombs. Nobody could do anything with him until Jesus stepped on shore. When he got done, that man was seated and clothed in his right mind. He had went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The power of God unto salvation is what the Bible talks about. Paul said that in the book of Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? Regardless of the enemies, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'll tell you, this preacher right here still believes, even in this day, the gospel has power to save and change lives. It can change a sinner. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Whew. I wish I had the strength that I had when I was 30. The Lord will transform your life. But you got to warn Him. You can't just stand around the back of the crowd and everybody else is getting fed. You just decide to go on. When everybody else is bringing their sick, you just stand at a distance. You've got to warn him. That little old woman, she had never got healed of her issue. But you know what she did? She come crawling through the crowds. Amen? Crawling through the crowd. That's what you've got to do to get saved, to get to Jesus. I'd crawl through the crowd if it meant touching the hem of His garment and being saved, being changed. Boy, she knew too when it happened. She knew. Amen. That blind man, they couldn't convince him he was blind. He couldn't convince him Jesus didn't do something for him. He knew Jesus did something for him. Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's what he's meaning. He's talking about. He's talking about the expression of men and women they begin to press as if violently wanting what he had. Wanting what John was preaching until he came. I remember it took me a few rounds to get there. But there's a day I finally got there. I finally got to the place. Nobody had to beg me. You get somebody that wants it, you don't have to beg them. They'll be like in the book of Acts, they'll be asking you, "What can I do to be saved?" I want you to stand.